and he ran a blood-smeared hand across his forehead, smoothing back his hair.
Are you a Sticky?
You a Norm? A Norm. You hear that, Ryan Cotter? I called this thing a Norm. How about that, huh?
The other crazies had dropped to a squatting position, their whips trailing in the dirt. None of them seemed very interested in what was going on around them, ignoring the crowd of Stickies that were pressing closer to them.
How come a Sticky got houses like this? And who the blooded savior are they?
They are seekers after light, not unlike yourselves.
We seek light through dark, happiness through misery, health through pain, day through night.
That was obviously one of their ritual chants.
How about life through death?
Amen to that. Oh, yes, amen to that. Life through death.
The Flagey collapsed on the red rocks and rolled around in a delirious fit of ecstasy, his legs kicking, his matted hair becoming coated in dust.
Here it comes, Christy.
Life through death. They want life through death.
The sound of a mob is one of the most deadly and obscene noises in the world. A mixture of sullen anger and vicious anticipation, spiced with an eager taint of perverse, guilty lust. It swells as every member of the crowd gains power from the multi-headed monster. Charlie pointed at the five Flagies with the muzzle of his Uzi.
They want to suffer! Have they come to the right place?
The leader of the flagellants stopped rolling and moaning, sitting up, looking around in bewilderment.
No! No!
Oh, yeah.
The torture and execution of Red Folsom had been done with a vile skill, making the suffering last as long as possible to prolong the pleasure of the watching Stickies. The deaths of the flagellants were handled in a different way. It only took a matter of minutes for five triangular whipping frames to be set up and for the Flagies to be stripped of their caked rags and bound to the frames by wrists and ankles. Ever since Folsom's escape attempt, Abe had fallen into a strange, almost catatonic trance. He'd ignored Ryan's attempts to talk about any plans for getting away from the Stickies, sitting with his head slumped on his chest, refusing to respond to any effort to make him stir. Now, suddenly, he seemed reborn. He shook his head like a swimmer emerging from deep water, looking around him with bright eyes.
Hey, I've been real out of it, haven't I? It happens now and then. I saw a pretty smart healer about a year back. He said I was a narco-leper or something like that. Been like it since I dropped some left-field jolt when I was in my teens. Not often, like once a year or so. Big shot can bring it on.
You okay now, Abe? We're gonna have to take some triple red action real soon, and we're gonna need you.
Sure, I'm fine. Just sort of lost today, that's all.
The activity at the center of the camp drew Ryan's attention away from Abe. Charlie strutted out to stand by the large fire at the center of the open space and held his hands up for silence.
Thank you, brothers and sisters, thank you. Just got something to say.
The Flagey leader, his back already a ghastly mass of old scar tissue and fresh weeping wounds, called out to Charlie.
Spare me!
Why?
Got some news for you!
What?
Let me live!
What, all of you?
Yeah!
No!
Let me! Just me!
How about all these others? Your four fine friends. How about them?
Kill them!
Oddly, none of the other flagellants seemed at all bothered by their leader's attempts to save his life by pawning theirs. They just hung where they were, occasionally moaning.
That's a Norm for you, friends!
Huh. Has a point, doesn't he?
I'll tell you about the big gang of lepers! We seen them 3 nights ago, north over the rim, where there's a big fall before the rains came in, and the trail goes like a breakneck snake. We smelled smoke and kept clear, but seen a body way back that made us know they was lepers with hands, nose, and stumps and all.
How many?
Charlie had glanced behind him, up to the far side of the wooded ravine, where every one of his guards had been pulled back into camp to watch the killings.
50? 100? Don't know numbers too good, mister?
But a lot.
Charlie pointed with the Uzi at a half dozen of the older men.
Get the fuck up there, you stoops, and keep a good lookout!
The flagellant had slumped. Now he straightened, trying to look around at the leader of the Stickies.
I told you. Now can I go free?
No.
But you said...
I didn't say word one, Norm.
I told you about the lepers, saved you from a sneak attack.
You sure did.
You bastard.
That's right, Norm. Accident of birth with me. What's your excuse?
We are the people of God.
That doesn't mean shit. Doesn't mean shit, does it, preacher?
The Reverend Bob Jarman lowered his head and wouldn't meet the eyes of the sticky chieftain.
Hey, preacher, you agree with me? Well, you don't disagree with me.
Tonight, I dine in the halls of Elysium at the right hand of the almighty power of celestial wonder. Ambrosia and wild honey shall be both meat and drink. What? Samite shall be my raiment, and of chalcedony and onyx shall be my plates and things. Through what some call death, I shall inherit what all call life eternal.
Whip the triple crazy Norm fuckers to ribbons! Take it in turns and make it last! Have a good time.
Once again, the line of prisoners had to sit as mute spectators to the Sticky's acts of senseless cruelty and brutality. The whole camp jostled and pushed to get at the Flagey's whips and have a turn at torturing the naked quintet. Though Ryan would never have admitted it, even to Christie, he appreciated that there was a certain grim irony in the situation. For a group who took such lunatic delight in flogging themselves to get nearer to their idea of the Godhead, being whipped to death should have been close to paradise. But it didn't seem that they appreciated the benevolent mercy of the Stickies. As the afternoon drifted toward evening, the cutting sound of whips on human skin grew muted by blood-sodden flesh. Even the little children Stickies took turns at the flogging, though some of them were unable to direct their blows higher than their victims' knees. The Sticky females were the best and most ingenious at using the multi-thonged whips. One of the younger ones had gotten first go at the leader. Standing staring at his already lacerated back, she reached forward and touched him down between his spread thighs, very gently, with the butt of the whip.
Ah!
He tried to move, straining against the tight cords. The woman turned to the chained prisoners, concentrating on Christie, Helga, and Dorina, and rubbed at the crotch of her own jeans with the whip in an unspeakable gesture. Then she spun and delivered a cruelly aimed blow at the helpless Flagey. The metal and glass tips slicing upward between the tops of his legs. He fought against the knotted rawhide so hard that blood burst from the tips of his fingers. Everyone was allowed to strike about 10 blows. Blood splashed on the ground and onto the clothes and faces of those doing the flogging. Ryan had witnessed ritual whippings, often administered by frontier baron Sekhmen. He wasn't that surprised to see how quickly the dark relief of unconsciousness came to the five crazies. The fact that their victims were slumped against the makeshift flogging posts didn't deter the Stickies from carrying on with their sport. The woman flagellant died first, her bowels and bladder opening in the relaxation of death. Three of the men followed soon after, but the leader clung to the last remnants of his agonized life for at least a quarter of an hour longer. It was the same female who discovered the success of whipping at his exposed genitals who finally ended the man. She reached again between the blood-slick thighs, groping for a proper grip with the strong suckers on her fingers and palm, smiling in triumph as she found a hold.
Oh, Gaia!
There was a moment of thrilled expectation from the crowd of Stickies. As the mutey woman flourished her limp, draggled prize, the last of the flagellants gave the loudest scream that Ryan had ever heard in his life. It seemed to flood out between his lips, carrying his soul with it, out into the valley of the Anasazi and beyond, far beyond. Doc sat heavily in a patch of luxuriant moss, close to the edge of the narrowing river.
Let us pray with all our hearts that the dreadful sound we've just heard did not emanate from either of our dear lost friends.
Amen to that, Doc. Just thinking of it makes my blood curdle.
You don't think that was Dad, do you? Or Christie? It wasn't them, was it?
You think that sounded like either of them, son?
No, but it didn't sound like anyone like anyone human.
It wasn't Ryan or Christy.
But it was like someone dying in horrible pain, wasn't it?
I recall something from my days of English history. Edward II.